Let our loving know no borders. It's on a post-it note on my laptop, and it's been there for the last month, because before that, I had it scribbled on a piece of paper that I had in a meeting somewhere, a conference, I'm not even sure, but when I was done with the piece of paper, I copied it onto a post-it note, I put it on my laptop so that I could remember it for this month's sermons. And I've been staring at it every time I open my laptop for the last month. Let our loving know no borders. What does this mean in the context of our monthly theme of worship? What does it mean for a church to even have a monthly theme of welcome? And what does it mean in particular for Unitarian Universalists to focus on welcome? Because really, we're the love people. We already are welcoming, right? We already embrace and receive and all that. But what images and stories and symbols emerge in our subconscious for us to examine so that we can deepen our own Unitarian Universalist faith and deepen and strengthen our faith community? What emerges for us that enables us to strengthen our ties to each other and be invitational to visitors walking through our lives and through those doors? What does it mean to welcome the stranger? I don't know if this happened where you grew up or if it even still happens in North Carolina where I grew up in the South. I know it happened in North Carolina and in many places throughout the South. But we used to have summer Bible salesmen. They came through, they traveled those rural roads, usually college students who took this on as a summer job. They went door to door and they were trying not really to sell Bibles, but Bible encyclopedias and commentaries. Two guys showed up at our house one summer. My mother may not have invited them into the house right away, but we had a front porch with plenty of chairs, and she always had iced tea. So the strangers stayed, not only for iced tea on the porch, but for dinner that night, and not only that night, but many other nights during that summer. Those guys hung out at our house all summer. They became, in some ways, part of our family. My younger brother and sister and I had rides on their shoulders, and they pushed us in the swings and swung us around till we were dizzy. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful summer for us. And we used that encyclopedia and the commentary for many years to come. I think about those two guys, James Payton and Duane Perry. So far from home, knowing no one, their own family behind in Oklahoma or Missouri or wherever they were from, knowing only each other really, probably lonely, missing their home and their friends, off on some kind of adventure maybe, but still strangers in a strange land, relying on the kindness of strangers that they met. My mother's heart, I'm sure, went out to them. Mainly, I suspect, because she knew it could have been her children. Away at some school or job, and she would have wanted them to be met with a welcome and kind. But also because that's just the way my mother was. There was always dinner if someone stopped by, or a piece of cake or a sandwich, or a glass of iced tea. She was always happy to see people, even if they, relatives from Tennessee, showed up in our yard. She was always happy to see them and invite them in. Sacred texts from many traditions, many faiths, state the shared value of welcoming the stranger. The Baha'i tradition says, loosely paraphrased, that love and good faith must so dominate the human heart that all will regard the stranger as a familiar friend, the malefactor as one of their own, the alien even as a loved one, the enemy as a companion, dear and close. The Jewish and Christian scriptures have at least 46 verses welcoming the stranger. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to name them all. But here are three from Exodus. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you know how it feels to be a stranger, for you were once strangers in a strange land. And in Hebrews, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And Matthew simply says, you were a stranger and we welcomed you. Hindu tradition says, let a person never turn away a stranger from their house. That is the rule. Therefore, by all means, acquire much food, for good people say to the stranger, there is food for you. The Muslim tradition says, do good unto your parents and near of kin and unto orphans and the needy and the neighbor from among your own people, and the neighbor who is a stranger, and the friend by your side, the wayfarer and your servants. And even in secular humanism, maybe especially in secular humanism, they've chosen Pablo Neruda. To feel the intimacy of others is a marvelous thing in life. To feel the love of people whom we love is a fire that feeds our life. But to feel the affection that comes from those we do not know, from those unknown to us, who are watching over our sleep and solitude, over our dangers and our weaknesses, that is something still greater and more beautiful, because it widens out the boundaries of our being and unites all living things. The six say, none is our enemy, none is stranger to us. We are in accord with one and all. And the Native American tradition, Chief Tecumseh from the Shawnee Nation says, always give a word of or sign of salute when meeting a passing friend, even a stranger, when in a lonely place. Show respect to all people and grovel to none. And our own Unitarian Universalist faith calls us to welcome the stranger, the refugee, the internally displaced, the immigrant, the other. The inherent worth of dignity, we say, of every person, and the interdependent web of existence of which we all are part. Those are the principles that are the cornerstones of all the other principles that we hold dear. And basically it says, we are intrinsically linked, one earth, one human family. Compassion, mercy, love, hospitality are for everyone, not just for those who look like us, think like us, talk like us. All of us in the circle, draw the circle wide. All of us are considered strangers somewhere that we go. All the more important, then, that we should treat the stranger to our community as we would like to be treated, challenging intolerance and being radically welcoming and inclusive. Let our loving know no borders. I'm guessing that most of us here feel compassion toward refugees and immigrants. It's part of who we are. We have it on our windows. Hey, it has no home here. We have it up there. Refugees are welcome here. Is that what it says? Yes. Poet Warren Wilshire says, no one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. It's true. Why would we leave our homeland if we didn't have to? But that's almost written into our values, it's kind of written into our DNA. If we look at who Unitarians and Universalists have been all through the years. But here, right here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Loudoun, here in Leesburg, Virginia, or Ashburn, or Purcellville, or Round Hill, or Point of Rocks, what does welcoming radical hospitality, radical inclusivity really truly look like? How do we practice that here? How do we prepare a place more deeply open ourselves to both the familiar and the stranger? We say we take people as they are, without wishing them to change in any way. Whatever they come in with, whoever they are, we make a place for them. I knew one woman in San Diego who came to the Unitarian Universalist Church there during her divorce. She left every Sunday through the side alley to get to the parking lot so that she wouldn't have to talk to anyone. That's what she needed. After many years, maybe a couple years of healing, she got more involved in the church. Eventually, she became church president. I've heard a similar story here. It happens. We meet them where they are, all of us. We can make our physical space accessible to all and accommodate differing needs, emotional needs, mental challenges, and physical needs. This is my personal inner work to do as much as it's yours. It's mine as well because it sounds good in theory to do this. It sounds a little bit easy, but it isn't. Our reptilian brains almost always choose to be around people who are similar to us. And it takes a lot of effort to bypass that reptilian brain and consciously choose diversity. But let our loving know no borders, my little post-it note says. While my mother's hospitality, which extended beyond those white, clean-cut Bible salesman, it still had its limits. I don't know how welcoming she would have been in the rural South in the mid-1960s if those Bible salesmen had shown up as two black gentlemen, whether they were selling anything or not, actually. I don't know how they would have been met. Research shows that our brains are hardwired to be around people who are like we are, to hunker down and isolate in the midst of diversity. How do we bypass that instinctive response? You know what works? According to research, constant vigilance, constant evaluation and reevaluation of what we're doing and why we're doing it, so that we can understand where we're coming from, what our own internal processes are, the lenses that we look through that help us see the world and help us be able to see the perspective of the other, the person that we're meeting with, those that we are welcoming in. We have to look at how we talk, how we interact and engage on a daily level. The churches that succeed at bridging social divisions learn to approach others as partners and not as people that they're trying to help. Being radically inclusive is less about beliefs and more about the detailed content of our conversations. Welcoming the stranger is about how we talk and how we listen to others. And it's in what we talk about. That can be as simple as a glass of iced tea on a front porch on a hot summer day, about sharing stories with each other, being curious, learning about the other person's life, and entrusting them with our own stories. Looking beyond the differences, and then also learning to appreciate and celebrate them. And it can be labor intensive. It can be as labor intensive as changing language to make it more inclusive, as I did with some of the quotes today. As we all do when we choose to use the pronouns that someone wants us to use for them, or call someone by name and know how to pronounce it. Being welcoming and inclusive means that sometimes we change the words to hymns or songs. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. Well, what if one can't stand? Well, that's a metaphor, we say. Well, it is. It's only a metaphor if people have access to everything possible for them, for those who cannot stand so easily. It's why Jason Shelton, who wrote Standing on the Side of Love, has officially changed the words to that song. It's now answering the call of love. He listened. He heard the hurt. If, in fact, we were already radically inclusive and already making things accessible, it would be easier for people who feel excluded to see that as a metaphor. But our language matters. It says whether or not we're welcoming. It's also about centering the voices of those who are on the margins, in particular people of color, which Jerry and I have committed to this year in the readings that we do and in the music that we're singing. 2 years ago, I moved to from San Diego to Fairfax, Virginia with my husband. I left a job I loved and a city I really loved and people I loved and an internship I had set up for myself. I basically stalked the minister at Mount Vernon Unitarian Church to let me do an internship there, and she thankfully said, okay. But my first official day there, I walked up to my office with my box, and there in my office sat a huge vase of flowers. Big gladiolas in reds and purples, and a card signed by the entire staff and some of the volunteers. That mattered to me. I was a stranger in a strange land. I had been here 6 weeks, and I felt welcomed. Before I officially started here, Jenna, the board president, reached out to me, and we had lunch. Ricky Keach emailed me the day before my official start date to say, yay, it's finally here. And on my first official day, I made plans to go get my signature at the bank and have lunch with Gay, our administrator. And I thought maybe we'd just take the time to get to know each other. But Gay had a whole folder of information for me, including keys to this building. A whole folder of information for me, including keys to this building and the door code. That mattered to me. It made all the difference. I was wondering how I was going to gain access to this building. I had already been here before, not just for the interview, but when I found out the church was open, I drove by here with my husband. We tried as best we could to peek in those windows. I was so happy to have those keys. It said, "You matter. Welcome. We trust you with these keys, with this building, We have hopes that we can trust you as our minister. Sometime later that week, I called up Anne Marie. I had never met her. It's a little weird to say, I'd like to invite myself to your house. But she was very welcoming. Please come, she said. I like to cook, so I cook dinner and we have the meetings here. You don't need to bring anything. Please come. And I did. And they welcomed me. I was a stranger in a strange land, and I was welcomed. I've watched Sunday after Sunday as visitors are greeted warmly as they come in the door, as children are invited to the religious exploration classes, as people are welcomed here. How does a church, any church, truly make room in their church community for new people? How do we make room knowing that it will change who we are in some way? That's the real question about welcoming, isn't it? How do we change but still stay the same? I propose to you that radical hospitality and inclusivity is exactly that challenge. Making room, not just in this building, not just in the services, but in our hearts. You, Unitarian Universalist Church of Loudoun, have big and open hearts. Let our loving know no borders. All are welcome in this circle. The stranger, the lonely, the grieving, the joyful, the aging, the growing. Let us draw the circle wide. Without ignoring the risk involved, may we know that in opening our doors and our hearts, love, or God, if you prefer, is our long-awaited guest. Blessed be, and amen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for hymn number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table. This is a song that comes from the Negro spiritual tradition. It was written by people in bondage who had no place at the table. This is a song of radical welcoming, of a radical vision of the welcome table, of all being welcome in the circle, a place where all can thrive. Let us open our hearts to that.